I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, July 8th, 2019. And as has been our tradition for many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of June 24th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes as proposed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against? Okay, let the record show that it's 4-1 with Councilmember Brittingham absent. The reason for the executive session under the Maryland Open Meetings Act is that before a contract is awarded or bids are opened to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal, if public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process.
Okay. Gee, I think you meant Councilman Burrell wasn't here.
Oh.
Burrell Brittingham was.
No, I'm talking about tonight.
Oh, tonight. Oh.
that's okay. That's all right.
Executive session.
Next is 1C, which is the approval of the regular session minutes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes of June 24th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Now we move on to this second item on the agenda, which is the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee report. I know we all know each other, but if you'll just state your name and your position for the evening.
Sure. I am Amy Field, and I'm the chairperson of the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee.
And I'm Jack Orris. I'm the committee vice chairman.
So tonight we just want to give you a summary of what we've been doing over the last year. We were here last July. So it's been a year since we gave you a report, and then we're going to tell you what we're kind of working on right now and for the next several months, and bring a name proposal to you. So I will start. Over the last year, we've installed interpretive signs around the property, around the ponds area. This was with a grant through the Coastal Bays Program. We established subcommittees, which has been really helpful to our group to focus on certain things such as the physical layout, having a coherent plan and approach, activities that could take place, and park naming. We also had a pretty lengthy debate about bringing a YMCA to the park. We had a representative from the Eastern Shore YMCA come and tell us about their program and what the possibilities are. It would be about, the study would cost about $20,000 just to do a feasibility study, and then another study would be done after that. We weren't ready to commit to that at this point. So we did not move at that with that this year. We're aware that the mayor and council are interested in a broader recreation survey. We know that it wasn't in this year's budget, but maybe we could think about that in the future between our committee and possibly mayor and council. We sought bids for the demolition of the small buildings on the property and proceeded with that. We created a draft layout of the property, which includes an amphitheater. That was something that we all agreed would be a good thing to look into and pursue and see what the possibilities might be. So we've identified several different examples of what might work on the property. In collaboration with Berlin's Cleanup Day and Take Pride in Berlin Week, we held several additional activities at the park. We installed pollinator gardens, which are raised flower beds. We hung bee boxes, and those were made in cooperation with Worcester Youth and Family. And then we set up an information tent that day on cleanup day, had a map of the park, and we had feedback sheets for anyone who came to visit us to let us know what they were hoping to see at the park in the future. And we did some bee crafts with volunteers that were there with us that day. Also, we recently chose and ordered 4 benches to install around the pond so visitors can rest and do their bird watching in a little bit more comfort. And we implemented the naming survey for the park, which closed just last month in June. And we've reviewed those results and are submitting a recommendation to you tonight.
Good evening, and I'm going to talk about upcoming items and next steps. We are pursuing a grant from the Maryland Department of Transportation in partnership with the Maryland Department of Economic Development to have park signs. And when we say park signs, we're talking about the brown touristy signs that are available, and State Highway will decide where those really ultimately go. We are going to submit here in a few minutes the name to mayor and council, pending the approval. When that happens down the road, we'll update the social media, the Facebook, the Instagram for currently Berlin Falls Park to get more traction with the new name. We're also looking at a banner on the side of the large building to let people know where to turn and that it's actually there. Amy touched on the amphitheater designs. We have... at our last meeting, we did ask DBF to get rough ideas on pricing on 3 of the designs that we chose that we thought would fit best in the park. We're not committing anybody to anything. These are just, hey, can you take a look, make a couple phone calls, do your engineering stuff, and get some money, get some prices, excuse me. We're going to continue to follow the recommendations of the interpretive plan, the turtle basking platforms, and promoting birding tourism that was detailed in the marketing section. We are planning and hoping to host occasional events on the property. Right now we are in plans and permits are pending to have a fire pit and s'mores event in partnership with the local Boy Scouts in September. So that is the upcoming agenda items that we have planned. Before I get to the park name, does Mayor and Council have any questions?
I think compared to a year ago, a lot of different ideas are starting to actually formulate and take some actions on them, and I think there's a better vision for what you want to try to accomplish in the immediate future. We still have some big picture issues, but I think this shows progress.
On your screens there are the actual survey results, but I'll get to those in a second. The advisory committee asks that the mayor and council consider and approve after process the renaming of the Berlin Falls Park property to Heron Park. We did review the Town of Berlin naming and renaming policy to ensure compliance, considered name suggestions that were put forth in the interpretive plan, and the committee did generate some suggestions. If you go ahead and look up here, these are the actual results. One of the common themes is obviously Heron, but the committee expects that specific features within the park will have their own names as well, and other suggestions that were in this could have an influence on those. For example, if the committee, mayor and council, and the community decides to name one of the ponds specifically, it could be taken from some of these names, or some other area of the park.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that everything you presented conforms, at least because I reviewed the naming policy again today. A new witness happened to look at it a week or two ago, and then I just want to review it today. And all this, I think, fully falls within the guidelines of the naming policy that I believe that I think that Council Member Tyndall initiated and then put it together pretty quickly.
It's come full circle.
Yes.
Well, not quite. You need to do a public hearing if you want to.
Yeah, and that.
I was just getting ready to ask what the next steps were to move forward with.
Yeah, the policy has a public hearing required, based on our normal noticing process, so.
So I think it was August, your August, your first August meeting would be the time.
Would be the earliest we'd be able to do it.
And that's so that everyone can read about it in the media as well as on Facebook, and we'll certainly put that information on our town Facebook page and so forth, and just get the word out so people can know that this is the name the mayor and council is considering for renaming the park. And then we in the meantime can think about, okay, we'll get the public input and then make a decision. But it's good to know that at least there's some agreement, because in the beginning the suggestions were everywhere.
So out of about 102 responded, and about a quarter of them liked the name Heron Park, submitted Heron in one form or another.
And that date again is August what? Does that
mean? August 12th. That would be the earliest we'd be able to do it with to meet the notification requirements. If you wanted to pick another date later than that, you could do so.
I don't know if there's any objection to that. If there's a reason to postpone it, we will, but if otherwise, let's plan on August the 12th, if that's all right with everyone.
Sounds fine.
Okay.
And I think Amy would be okay. I just want to, again, publicly thank the community for, that's a great response for residents of Berlin. So I just wanted to thank.
Yes, it is. Very, very encouraging.
Thank you for your leadership and the work that you have put into this endeavor. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, we're happy to do it.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Is there any other questions for you?
Okay. I think we have one in the audience.
Thank you.
You have to hold, say no.
I don't know. Is it appropriate to ask questions at this point regarding the park?
You can ask us questions.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I just had a question about if that is going to be, if you're going by vote, if that is going to end up being the name specifically, is that going to be the final say? Just because I'm looking at a Heron Park, not to be confused with Heron Creek Park, which is in West Ocean. Could create a lot of confusion for people when they're trying to find a Heron or a Herring.
Well, may I encourage you to speak up at the public hearing?
I'm sorry.
Could I encourage you to speak at the public hearing? Because that's what it's about.
I wasn't sure when you could ask questions.
No, and that's right. But I'm just saying, that's why we have a public hearing, so people can hear about it, decide if they like the idea, don't like the idea, have questions, whatever, and that's what that's all about. Sure, okay. Sure, no problem. Excellent. Okay. Oh, good. That's good. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Next, item three is a discussion. It's not for a decision tonight, but an initial discussion about increasing the stormwater fees for the town of Berlin. And, Laura, would you review the staff report on why we're having discussion this time, and then if there's anybody who wishes to speak.
Sure. So as the mayor pointed out, this is for discussion. This is simply staff seeking direction as to whether or not the mayor and council would be interested in increasing the stormwater utility fee. This item came up for discussion earlier in the budget process, I want to say sometime in the February-March timeframe. The proposal would be to increase residential stormwater fees from $50 a year to $100 a year, and to add a 30% increase in the commercial fee. So it would go from $25 per ERU to $32.50. The financial impact would be what we estimate to be an additional $100,000 in revenue to the stormwater utility. In part, I'm proposing that you consider this because the stormwater utility fund does not have sufficient capacity to complete the Graham Avenue submerged gravel wetland project that I brought to you for your approval at the June 24th mayor and council meeting. And so I'm looking for a way to get that project funded. We've got $75,000 in grant funding that came to us to complete that project. I think there's a lot of support in the neighborhood for that project, and that submerged gravel wetland will help relieve, not 100% solve the flooding issues in that neighborhood, but will help relieve flooding in that neighborhood. A couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention. is the stormwater fees have not increased since they were established in 2013. We actually, when the utility was established, the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center did a financial analysis and had recommended a fee structure as part of that study. Their recommendation was a $50 residential fee and a $45 per ERU commercial fee. So the initial setting of the commercial fee was substantially lower than that recommended by the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center. The increase in the fee would also enable the Stormwater Fund to stop borrowing from the general fund. Currently, the general fund provides anywhere from about $30,000 to $50,000 support, financial support, to the Stormwater Fund. Again, I think in part because the fees aren't set to really cover the cost.
The figure was again.
The general fund supports ranged anywhere from about $30,000 to $50,000.
Okay,
kind of depends based on the budget. So those would be some points that I would raise in terms of reasons why. Also, I think the other component I put in here is I think it would be a mistake to return the funding to the Chesapeake Bay Trust. I know there was some comment that I heard, expression of interest in returning the grant funding, and I think that that would be a mistake. I think there's some people in the audience who would be prepared to speak to that if you had some questions about that. I also included in the staff report a series of PowerPoint slides. Those are in attachment B, itemizing the stormwater project priority list that the mayor and council had approved. And work in this neighborhood is your top priority, identified generally as project one in the attachment.
Is the budget that was passed for FY20, is there any borrowing in that budget for the stormwater?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to check.
Could you find out?
Sure. Has that been posted online yet, Mary?
Which, I'm sorry.
Has the budget for 20 been posted online yet?
No, I haven't received the.
I'd have to check. Sorry.
That's with
the draft budgets have the budget that was presented for approval is within the mayor and council packet for that meeting. I can't recall the date off the top of my head. So it is available to view. It's just not posted
to the website.
So you can go to the website and find it, but it's just, okay.
So I don't have that off the top of my head.
So that's.
But I can find out for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So basically, if this is considered, then you're saying that, I think in this staff report it says here, that the at these levels, which you were talking about, going from $50 a year to $100 a year for residential, and a 30% increase for commercial, from $25 to $32.50, that would generate an additional $70,000 in residential fees and an additional $30,000 in commercial fees. So that's total of an additional $100,000.
Correct.
And does that mean the total revenue from stormwater utility fees, is that the $270,000?
That's correct. It's currently, utilities currently generating about $170,000 a year. This would add, if you make this increase, it would add $100,000. So the total would go from $170,000 to $270,000. That would create enough capacity in the utility fund for us to finish this particular project and also make us more competitive for upcoming grant applications, because one of the things we've noticed as we compete for other grants from DNR or the Chesapeake Bay Trust is the return on investment, the cost component of the project is becoming much of a higher weighted item. And so the more compelling of an argument we can make in terms of being able to provide in-kind services or cash match, it helps make our projects a better investment for those grant opportunities. And so the more we're able to provide an in-kind services and cash match, the more likely we are to get a, you know, greater funding from our state and federal partners.
Because I see a couple of folks here from Maryland Coastal Bays and an act. So, yeah, come on down and introduce yourself, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'm Frank Piorco. I'm the director of Maryland Coastal Bays Program. And while I'm not a taxpayer in Berlin, I won't speak to the issue of specific tax rates for stormwater. I'll leave that in the hands of the mayor and council for those tough financial decisions. I will state that we feel Berlin is to be commended for taking steps years ago to manage their stormwater-related challenges without having an EPA-mandated program, as so many small municipalities do within the state of Maryland. And that strategy of using program funds that manage drainage and flood abatement projects combined with water quality improvement is a really smart idea that just opens up eligibility for funding streams from different opportunities. And as you all are aware, and having done so, those local funding allows for leverage of state and federal funds, as your past successful projects have demonstrated. We have touted Berlin and this voluntary method of solving dramatic drainage issues and flooding issues with improving water quality at National Estuary Program meetings with our EPA funding partners there as a model for building strong local citizen support for these types of water quality improvements. As the Maryland Coastal Bays Program element that is charged with reducing nutrient loads in our bays, we look at all sectors. We look at wastewater, stormwater, septic, agriculture. They're all important. And we'll continue to work with Berlin to identify sources of funding for match for future projects. I can't offer a specific comment as far as a solution for Graham Avenue grant, but I do share the town administrator's comments about returning funding maybe having an impact for the future. And we'll continue to work with the town to identify funding for this and future projects. Small projects have a big impact. The Graham Avenue project alone, with a drainage area of 10 acres, reduces total nitrogen to 140 pounds per year and total phosphorus reductions of 14 pounds per year. And those small incremental reductions really add up. So I appreciate the time to speak with you this evening. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So do I get from what you're saying that none of us have a crystal ball, but you're saying that if we return the grant, it may, based on your experience, make it harder to get the next grant? I mean, I'm just asking.
Based on experience and as someone who applies for a lot of grants and also gives out a lot of grants in my past, but I'd rather continue to try to work, if time permitted, on a financial solution for this particular project.
So I think, what kind of time do we have to take a look at what our options are?
With regard to the grant funding for that specific project, yeah. Technically we're supposed to have the project completed by the 1st of September. We're in the process of requesting a grant extension because we don't believe we can plant the submerged gravel wetland in the heat of the summer and have any kind of success with that. So we're asking them if we can push back the grant by a couple, 3 months. I did reach out to Maryland Coastal Bays, and I really appreciate them coming tonight, but also they're looking to see if there's some other funding that they might be able to help us get
for this particular project.
Prior to coming to the mayor and council with the contract award request, we did beat the bushes with the contacts that we had, both within the Chesapeake Bay Trust and other folks in DNR, because sometimes at the end of the fiscal year, states can have some funding that's available that they might be willing to pass on to a project that's struggling, but none of that turned out to be successful. So I know Coastal Bays is doing what they can to kind of help us out, and really appreciate it.
We're still beating.
Yeah. But I would ask you also to consider not just this one particular project, but actually the stormwater program in general, which is part of why I included the priority projects that you have listed. I think it'd be challenging for us to continue to seek funding with the way the utility fees are structured. Of course, it's always your decision. If you don't want to increase the fees, we'll do our best to make those applications competitive as we move through the process.
So the stormwater fees, at least from what I've think I remember from when we initiated them, were used to be help leverage the bigger grants that are available through MDE, DNR, potential EPA, and more. So we've been raising $100,000.
About 170. The utility's not exclusively set up simply to generate income or generate revenue for grant applications. There's a chunk of that where we have staff assigned to go around and do maintenance. And again, going back to the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center process, and their recommendation was two FTE, two full-time equivalent employees, and that's what we have in that budget for that utility. So there's some funding left from that for grant match and also for the work that we do with EA. EA helps manage our stormwater review process.
Engineering.
Mm-hmm. They help us manage the stormwater review process as well. So it's not simply $170,000 available for grant application and match. There's a component.
Roughly, since we instituted these fees originally.
About 2013.
So about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, is about how much grant funding have we been able to receive so far?
Yeah, I think it's about $2 to $2.5 million, okay. somewhere in there.
And that's from collecting what was left over, or you know, part of that annual income.
Yep, part of the reason why the general fund has been providing support to the stormwater utility is to help create that cash match for grants that we've been applying to. Because it's not really able to come out of the utility fund once you put the staff in there to do the ongoing maintenance work.
So just looking ahead, because you know, obviously everything can't be done in 1 year, because we're talking about many years, not 20 or 30,
right.
But many years to get everything that's been recommended that we do to eliminate flooding and to manage drainage in this community, which it's not right on the waterfront, but it's a coastal community based on the water that we actually live with,
yeah.
Is we're talking about these projects, and this is, I call it the second tier projects. First tier started in East Berlin and has worked eastward, and far eastward now we're at Pine, Franklin, Grace, and Nelson Streets, right there by the water tower.
Yep.
Is if we're doing that, then we have what approximately over the next several years, unknown, how many more millions of dollars of investment must be made through grants to get all these projects done?
So I would estimate it's anywhere between $7 and $10 million.
$7 to $10 million.
If you look at the Army Corps of Engineers study, which is pretty old, I think they attach a $1 to $2 million price tag, but because of the age of that report and I think climate impact since it was established, those costs are going to be higher than what they originally estimated. Also, I'd add that there. One of the projects on your list here, the second project, Bottle Branch Road, the channel stabilization work was added in part due to a concern we have with potential flooding at the wastewater treatment facility. So we did sort of go off, I guess, off the script of the Army Corps Engineer report slightly with that one, because we see a potential risk to a critical asset that is worth protecting.
You can't fix flooding in one area and wash out the wastewater treatment plant in another area. Yeah, and that's another thing I think has to be very carefully done, is that while you're fixing up the overall system, nature does what it wants, and you've got to anticipate so that you're not pushing water from one area to an area that's even worse.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's one of the things. I mentioned EA, so they're the engineering firm that we work with that handles our stormwater reviews. So one of the reasons, just to follow up on what the mayor said, I think their work is so critical, is when we have a development project, they review the stormwater plan to make sure that they're not, you know, people aren't pushing water on each other's property. They'll also look at single-family home developments to make sure the same thing, right, that the water is being contained on the property. And they also work with us to troubleshoot individual private property owner situations which pop up from time to time. So they're a pretty strong asset. You don't have staff
with a high degree of engineering expertise. We've got Jamie, who knows a lot about stormwater, but we don't have any on any engineers on staff.
No small town. Yeah. No small town. Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or observations, or anything regarding this idea?
And I'm looking through the budget now to see if I can get your answers.
Thank you.
That's very small print.
Thank
you, Frank.
Thank you. No questions? Okay, so basically, I guess I'd like to look for, do you wish to have this considered in the future, or do you wish to nix it or continue to have it considered? I have no idea. Just
I think there's some other people who want to say something.
Yes, yes.
I just want to ask a question. Rose Ballinger, 202 Leanne Drive. Is there a reason why residents are being proposed with 100% increase and commercial property is just a 30% increase? Just a question.
I'm sorry, I was looking something up. I know that 100% seems like a big number. The way that I was looking at it is it's a $50 to $100 increase, so it breaks down to being from $4.16 a month to $8.33 a month. So I know if you go on a percentage basis, it's a bigger hit, but it was a smaller overall, it seemed like a small dollar amount. The vast majority of our property is residential property. This is a staff proposal. The mayor and council. Sorry, Marie. This is a proposal. The mayor and council can always adjust it. But I can tell you some of the logic behind it was the residential property is a substantial portion. I think it's like 85% of the property that we have in town. But they can always adjust it if they would prefer.
Yes.
Just a comment on that. We are at the $50 that was recommended by that study, whereas commercial never even approached the 45. Mm-hmm. So that's something to me that you should consider.
Okay. So I guess, just looking for direction as to do you wish to simply decide to turn back the grant? Do you want to consider making adjustments? Obviously, have to be upward of some amounts for stormwater fees, or do you want to not consider it and return the grant? That's basically what I'm.
I think we should consider it. My 2 cents worth.
Consider which?
Okay. Consider what being proposed here by staff. As what being proposed by staff at the August 12th meeting coming up.
I have a question regarding the timeline. So it says next steps, and that a fee increase resolution would be brought to the mayor and council on August 12th. And then if it's approved, it would become effective October 1st. Is that correct?
Yeah. You can set these fees by resolution, which means you could make them effective immediately. What I'm proposing is that you not do that,
right.
You go ahead and you have consideration of the resolution at the August 12th meeting. That gives us plenty of time to notify people. If they want to come and talk about it, they can. Likewise, it will take us a little bit of time to get the financial system changes set for the billing purposes, and so having that time between approval, assuming it's approved, and implementation of October 1st gives us time just to get everything set up.
But by the time we begin receiving the money, we will have exceeded the time to comply with the grant. Mm-hmm. So where's the money coming from?
Well, so the money would be coming from
the general fund, which we voted against, right?
The money would be coming from the stormwater utility. Because, we would be working on getting the project finished, and then we'd just be passing the bills through. Because you already have a budget. You already have a budget for the utility work that's been set. This would be in addition to what's already budgeted.
Yes, sir.
The engineer at the last session said this wasn't going to alleviate the flooding problem anyway. Have you looked at alternatives that may?
Yeah, I don't believe that that's correct. My recollection of what he said is that it would help alleviate, but it would not eliminate. So it would reduce the flooding, but it's not going to solve the problem 100%.
Just for a small rain, it would help, not raining downpours. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's correct. To eliminate impacts of downpours in this neighborhood.
No, I'm sorry, please.
We're not here to argue. We're trying to share information, all right? The cost is going to be considerably greater than anything we're considering now. It's the great hump because it's mostly gray infrastructure, which is pipes and culverts and, you know, man-made stuff. There's no way we're going to stormwater pond our way out of that neighborhood's problem. So it's going to be one of the most costly to get rid of all the flooding altogether. And I don't know. I think that before we can get that done, at some point, if not now, sometime in the future, we'll have to raise the stormwater fees by either this amount or some other amount to have the money to do that project. There's no way to do it on the cheap.
So the answer to the question is no, you haven't pursued any other options to move stormwater away, correct?
There's a whole entire plan to move the stormwater away. It just cost about $6-7 million.
So far, I spent most of the money on holding water on the east side of town and not expediting its removal from town. You take the green approach first and spend millions of dollars on that. You've only spent a few $100,000 on actually moving water away from anything. And you're taking an approach now that the engineer said was not going to solve the problem and is the most costly option that we've seen.
And here's the other side of it, Jason. No. Here's the other part of this that you've got to step back and look. If we had expedited the movement of water from the western and central part of town to the eastern part of town, the flooding that was already severe there would be just basically houses would be could not be inhabitable. So that's why you have to start east and work west so that as the water moves towards the east, there's the capacity to temporarily hold it and then release it before it gets to Trap Creek and the other. Are we here to punish people and make their situation worse? Are we here with...
Financially, it seems you are.
Well, financially, if we don't do that, if we don't take care of our stormwater problem, a future generation, you're not talking after this century, a future generation in this town will have to decide which neighborhoods to abandon. This climate change stuff is real. And we're going to have places, people, that properties are just
don't,
not going to be inhabited.
Into something here.
Well, you know... You can disagree with all the science in the world, but we have an obligation to make sure that this town does not get flooded away.
Is your property commercial,
Gene? My property is residential.
Is it? Okay.
And here's the thing. There's no threat of stormwater there. I'm on a high piece of ground. But it's still...
Where does stormwater runoff come from, residential or commercial?
But I don't know.
Why are you charging us more and not commercial property?
Excuse me?
So where's most of the runoff come from, commercial or residential property?
Most amount of impervious surface.
Yeah
impervious surface, which...
Impervious
surface? Yeah. I think there's a difference between residential and commercial.
It depends on where you are in town. I mean, it's not perfectly level. The highest point in town is Main Street and the areas immediately on the east side. Then the west flows to the west, and on the east of Main Street, it flows towards the coastal bays.
And the bulk of the impervious surface is in commercial property?
Well, certainly the commercial properties have to be an impervious surface in downtown. But what percentage is downtown of the entire town? We're all in this together.
Not really.
Well, that's certainly your point of view and you're entitled to it.
Yeah.
All right. So what is your wish here? Have a discussion August 12th or not?
I have no problem having a discussion August 12th.
I have no problem having a discussion, but I want to say two things. Of these projects, there is no one thing that's going to solve the stormwater management issue in the town of Berlin. But it is a compilation of the whole plan that is going to put us in a better place. And you know, my second thing I would like to say is that I really do think some consideration should be given to a greater increase of that commercial recommendation, because I just don't think it is equitable to recommend that an increase of 50% be considered for residential and not across the board.
As far as I'm concerned, with the Graham Avenue project, I think we voted on that, in my opinion, last meeting, and I think that stands as far as my vote goes. However, if we want to look at discussing the stormwater fees as a whole and how we're going to move forward with those, I'm open to that discussion. But the increases that we have right here, I don't think are equitable. But in that discussion, we could have those things. But the Graham Avenue project, my vote stands.
It is real frustrating that we did vote on this last time. I feel like this is being thrown back on us again. To the best of my knowledge, in 4.5 years, this is the first time we've ever had anything brought up twice, especially back-to-back meetings. My vote will still stand as well, not to do anything with this particular project. And I'm sorry that the fees have to be returned. And as far as the stormwater fees are concerned, I asked this mayor and council to look at those back in February. And I said to raise them then. There's no way in hell I'm going to vote to raise these things now. We've done enough to everybody in the town. It's enough. We can revisit it next year. But for right now, absolutely not.
Okay, so let me make a judgment here that based on what I'm hearing, the discussion of restructuring the stormwater fees is something to be interested in, not for implementation in this fiscal year, but to be looked at to determine what we can do that's as equitable as we can make it between commercial and residential, and that we return the grant that we receive, and then that we start up again in next spring and reapply with knowing, deciding well before then, what the stormwater fee structure would be.
But I think at least one thing on my end is that I wouldn't mind an early discussion of the way that the stormwater utility is structured and the fees that are coming in. If we start that process now, we'll be well on our way for whatever decision we want to make by the time the next fiscal year rolls around. So I have no problem starting that discussion. I'm just a no for raising the fees right now and for the Graham Avenue project. But
I think that's a fair consensus of where we are, especially where we got two and two. And I think that makes sense that we look at the structure and the equity, and if there's any way to make it more equitable for fees to be increased in the next fiscal year, which is 2021. And that in the meantime, we have the time to look at that and to determine, Frank said, what other funding sources might be available. Plus, I think we need to look down the road. where is that all that gray infrastructure going to come from? Where is that kind of money going to be done? Because without that, the water can't flow there. It can't flow from.
And if that funds in a financial pickle, we need to start that conversation as early as possible. And it sounds like by the report that it's maybe not in its best condition.
Which we shared with the mayor and council in February. It was part of the package of items we discussed. I also wanted to point out, just for the benefit of everybody in the room, the minutes from the last meeting where we talked about the Graham Avenue project. Mr. Kohler said this would help alleviate flooding issues, but would not take care of them completely because it's only a piece of what needs to be completed. So I just want to follow up on that.
Thank you. So we'll to be continued. Next is our departmental reports. First, Administrative Services Director Mary Bowen.
I don't have anything this evening.
Okay. Jamie Latcham, who's our Head of Water Resources.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor Council. We've been, there's been a couple houses being torn down, so we've had to cap and remove the water meter so that nothing gets tore up when they do the demolition and whatever they're going to do there. So we've been busy doing that and rereads and helping generate at the wastewater plant, and that's all I have.
Again, any questions for Jamie? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have three or four things. First one I wanted to talk about was the we had a scheduled power outage on Powell Circle in Thomas Court, which was on Tuesday, July 2nd. It was from 10 o'clock in the morning until 12. That was a outage that we actually went door-to-door, hand-delivered outage notifications to the residents that were affected, and that was due to a underground primary feed cable that had been damaged. That was a customer was installing a fence, and they ended up hitting the
They need to move the microphone up a little bit because we can't even hear you.
They ended up hitting the underground primary that fed that area, so we had to do a scheduled outage to repair it. Then also, as far as generation, so far we have generated about three times, which was Thursday the 27th and Friday the 28th, and the approximate times, 27th was on from 2 o'clock to about 6:15 in the evening. On Friday the 28th was 2:45 to about 5:40 in the evening. And then we also generated on Tuesday, July 2nd, from about 10 minutes to 2 to about 6:20. So far this summer, we've generated three times. Okay, and we've hit all peaks so far out of that. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is we have a scheduled power outage for the entire town, which is on Wednesday, the 10th, from 12:30 a.m. to about 3 o'clock a.m., and then also on Friday, which is the 12th, same hours from about 12:30 to 3 a.m. The outage is necessary to replace some equipment that's connected to Savage Substation, which feeds the entire town. I have notified AGH Hospital as far as the Cancer Center and the Barrett Building. The hospital itself will not be affected. They're served by Delmarva Power. State Highway Administration has been notified, Fire Department, Police Department, Worcester County Emergency Services. They've been notified, Comcast, Verizon. So everybody's on board as far as the outage. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Tim?
Not for Tim, but for Laura. Who pays for the repairs due to the main feed being cut?
I don't know. Tim, who does that? Who handles that?
The fence was being installed, and what happened there, there was a mishap on the Miss Utility as far as marking the line.
Okay.
So that we're in discussions with the homeowner in question of who's going to pay for the damages to it.
All right, if you can keep us updated, that'd be great.
I will.
Thank you. Did the folks contacted include the nursing home?
It will. We're actually, you're talking about the nursing home in front of the hospital?
Yes.
Yes, they will be notified. They'll be taken care of.
Okay. Any other questions for Tim? Next is Chief Arnold Downing.
Nothing to report this evening.
Okay. Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple of items. Wednesday night, the Planning Commission will meet at 5:30. One of the items on their agenda, it's a public hearing for the proposed annexation of I.G. Burton Chevrolet on Old Ocean City Boulevard. That's a public hearing for them to make a motion to recommend the annexation to the mayor and council or not to recommend it at a later date after a 30-day Maryland Department of Planning review. I can then schedule it for a public hearing of the mayor and council if they want to proceed with the annexation. Also that evening on Wednesday the 10th, this Wednesday, the Board of Zoning Appeals will meet Mr. Girardi at 2 Stevenson Lane wants a variance for the front and rear setbacks. If you're familiar with Stevenson Lane across from Stevenson United Methodist Church, there's an old small house there that's kind of vine-covered and needs to come down, and that's what he wants to do is remove the house. If he can get a variance from the front setback is not sufficient anyway, non-conforming as of today's code anyway. It's only 8.5 inches. The rear setback actually extends 15.5 inches onto someone else's property. So this is how things were before zoning, before codes. Maybe the way it was platted out and back in the day and placed on the site. So he wants to bring that inside of the rear property line, and instead of 8.5 inches setback off of Stevenson Lane, he wants to bring it in 4 feet. So it'll be a more off the street, and the proposed building later would be what's permitted in the B1, the town center district, retail location down and apartments above, just like we have all along Main Street and in the business district, the historic district. So you may see that building come down in the next couple of weeks because he has a demolition permit. He was previously granted permission by the Historic District Commission to remove the building. It's not a building of historical significance. And then he would have to go back to the Historic Commission to approve his new plan if he gets these variances Wednesday night. So those are two cases we have coming up on Wednesday evening. That's all I have this evening.
That's good. Any questions for Dave?
Yes. Dave, what's happening with the property located at the corner of Shell Street and Flower?
I don't have any new update on that and what he intends to do to demolish it, but I know that won't be burned. I think we had talked. Had I talked to you about that previously?
No.
There was a title issue when he went through with his burn permit. At the last minute, there was another family member who spoke up. And, you know, as far as we knew, he was the only one on the title of the property. He was the heir to the property. And this other family member expressed that they didn't want it burned till they were consulted. So after scheduling it 3 times, the Berlin Fire Company, They said they would not go ahead and reschedule for a burn. If he was to demolish, he'd have to do it with, you know, mechanical method, go in with machinery and knock it down and remove the debris. And he hasn't made that decision yet when he's going to do that.
What is the address of that property, roughly?
I think it's 137 Flower Street, if memory serves.
I'm concerned about how that property is being used because the FS vacant. It's supposed to be maintained at a certain level.
Yes.
With certain qualifications.
That's how we got.
And it's pretty much open. If the property is going to be there, and I think it should be, although vacant, it still needs to be maintained properly. And if the property owner fails to comply with the ordinances, I think fees need to be levied against them as possible motivation to do something with that property.
I'll follow up with them. Since the burn permit went down, we haven't really stayed on it. So I'll have to follow.
Yeah, but it just can't sit there.
I agree.
Another issue I have with that same corner is that the stop sign at Flower and Shell, it's really difficult to see what's coming down Flower Street. Because of the hedge or whatever's there.
Vegetation?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that situation also exists when you leave in Fu Lion parking lot, when you leave in the donut club. Duncan. And right before you go on to William Street, there's a big hedge or a big bush that really blocks your sight from...
But all the way out at William, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
David, am I correct that obviously first you ask the property owner to resolve the situation?
Yeah.
But if they don't, then we have the ability to go and correct the situation and then send a bill. Yeah. And then if the bill's not paid, then file a lien.
That's correct.
Okay.
So, and with the house that was to be demolished, that's how we originally got to the burn solution, because we were following through on him boarding up the house, securing it so that there wasn't access into the house. And he said, I'm going to burn it anyway. And we went through that whole process over months. And when that fell down, we have not pressed him. So I will follow up with him.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to add something that Dave said about the property that's being demolished behind Finn's. Mr. Girardi bought that property. Late last week, I found out, someone notified me that there was a cat that had kittens and living in that house. So we contacted the Humane Society to make sure that the cat and the kittens were removed before the house is demolished. So anyone out there worried about the cats that they see going in and out of that, they will be removed, or I think they may have already been removed, and the kittens were removed too. So no, nothing will be harmed in the demolition of that. Also, the fireworks were last week, July 3rd. They were spectacular. I'd like to thank Chief and all the police staff that were there handling traffic. I personally stood there and watched the cars parked. Everyone was so polite when they parked, and it only took maybe 10 minutes for the entire parking lot to empty out. So thank you for that. And also for Jamie, I requested a large light tower, so when the fireworks ended, people weren't stumbling and trying to figure out where their cars were. So Jamie set up a light tower for me and showed me how to crank it up and turn it on. So thank you for doing that, Jamie. That was very helpful. And I know, and the lights came on, I mean, pretty bright, so everyone could see themselves back to their cars. So thanks, Jamie, for that. Just a few things. The Berlin Farmers Market, July 14th, live music is with Rob Fahey. July 21st is Christmas in July Farmers Market with free carriage rides offered downtown. August is Runaway Bride Month for the town of Berlin. It's the 20th anniversary since the filming of the movie. August 24th is Runaway Bride Day, working with the Arts and Entertainment Committee on some activities. The movie will be shown that night. There's going to be a bouquet toss, possibly a luau at the hotel. There's going to be a trivia contest where people walk around and identify things from the movie, and they fill out a form and they can win a free night stay at the Atlantic Hotel. And then there'll be a poster in each of the shops that was featured in the movie showcasing what that shop was actually in the movie. So Allison's working on that. I think that's pretty much complete. Wednesday, I have a Community Development Network meeting in Columbia, Maryland. So I'll be gone, leaving tomorrow, and I'll be back on Wednesday evening. Friday at 2:00 at the Berlin Library is a meeting about opportunity zones, and Berlin is an opportunity zone. So anyone interested in what an opportunity zone is, I encourage you to attend on Friday, 2 p.m. at the Berlin Library. Two more things. We are holding our Berlin fundraiser for ornaments again. Everyone seems to love the personalized ornaments on the tree, so we are adding those again. We did those a few years ago. They are a little worn from the weather, obviously, so we've ordered some more. It's a $20 donation, and we'll have an artist write whatever you'd like to have on the on the ornaments. One of the ornaments, they're 6 inches, one of the ornaments came with a small dent in it, and it looks like the Death Star from Star Wars. So we're going to have a Can You Find the Death Star in the Christmas tree and for a prize also. And then lastly, the streetscape grant that I wrote, I received an email that they do want to come out and do a site visit, so that's very positive. They'll be out in August, and I've arranged for someone from the companies that I received quotes from to be able to help identify the locations where the grant funding would be used for. So that's good news, and that's all I have. Thanks.
Does anyone have any questions for Robbie? Very good. Sounds like things are humming. Very good. Thank you. And lastly is Managing and Public Works Director Jeff Lee.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few things. Open enrollment is complete, so going through the process now of making sure that the payroll database is up to date where it needs to be for folks' elections that they may have changed through the open enrollment process. Friday of this week, Jamie Latch and Marvin Smith and I will conduct interviews for a vacant distribution and collection technician position in the water resources arena. So that the initial interviews will take place on Friday. If you've not noticed, if you visit both Stephen Decatur and Henry Parks, you'll notice that the playground equipment has not been painted. Everything's received a good bath, and it was quite moldy, so things are clean. The fencing and all the playground equipment has been cleaned. And then at the end of July, it's the time frame, first week in August, the swing set that's located in Henry Park is in need of replacement, so that it's scheduled to be replaced the end of July, first part of August. And during that same time frame, the playground folks will be here to repair the necessary things that we need done. And then last week when I was on vacation, Dave Wheaton gave me a call. We had an issue in Stephen Decatur Park with yellow jackets, and an exterminator was brought in. And my understanding is that there were some folks that did get stung by bees. And Dave shared with me this morning that when Rice's Pest Control came in, they said that it was a pretty good amount of yellow jackets, and they were actually in the ground. So they that was roped off, cordoned off, and it's now open to the public again. That's all I have.
Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? All right, next is our town administrator's report.
I don't have anything else to add tonight.
Do you have any comments? Do we have any comments from council?
I have nothing.
Yes.
I have nothing. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. No, that's all right. And do we have any comments from the public or anything you want to address to the mayor and council? Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to follow up on what we all said about the property on Chow Street. I've been informed that it needs to be falling from the house onto the street. So that needs to take care of as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you. Stand adjourned, and thank you very much for attending.